This is Drink Spin Run, the RPG Talk Show podcast.
Welcome to Drink Spin Run, an RPG podcast and talk show and all those things. I'm Don Stroud, and with me, as always, is Adam Miskevich.
Howdy, Don. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
I'm so glad to be here this week. Hi, everybody. I'm Adam, with the last name he said a minute ago, and I'm glad we're getting more on a like regular schedule. So tonight we have some awesome guests with us. I'm going to start in opposite order of familiarity. with us tonight from Adam Switch Games. Is it Adam Switch Games or just Adam Switch?
Adam Switch Incorporated, technically.
Incorporated. Okay. We have Dan Sandberg. And those of you who might have been paying attention to a recent Kickstarter for the DM Infinitas tablet app, Dan's one of the guys behind that. Dan's the creator of that project. Dan, we're going to give you a minute to talk about that in a little bit. So, but before we do, how are you doing tonight?
Good. I'm doing well.
And also with me, with us, sorry, I got a little possessive for a second there. With us is one of my favorite people on the earth, the artist and genius behind the Metal Gods of Ur-Hadad zine, Mr. Wayne Snyder. Wayne, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing well also. It's good to be here.
It's been like, I've been wanting to get you on the show forever, but before when you used to have all those computer problems, I worried like, oh, well, maybe his computer will catch on fire and set all the chickens on fire or something and it'll not work, you know? But, for me, this is an exciting one to actually finally get Wayne on the show.
I'm pretty stoked to be here.
Yeah. Awesome. So folks who are viewing this on Hangouts on Air, please feel free to send us a message or ask us a question, anything like that. Folks who are watching this on Twitch, I forgot to bring up the Twitch interface, so I'm going to do that right now. So if you do have any questions for us, let us know. We'll talk to these guys a little bit. So before we go any further, go into the meat of the show, Dan, I want you to give us the pitch for DM Infinitas.
Oh, the pitch. All right. Well,
yeah.
The basic idea is it's kind of like a virtual tabletop, only instead of replacing the table, the idea is to enhance the table. So rather than going all digital and all individual computers over the internet, the idea is to, through a tablet or a phone, to be able to take a lot of the digital tools that are really powerful and helpful and bring them to the actual table itself without, you know, alienating everybody and making them play from the four corners of the world. So it's like a campaign
awesome.
Manager. A map maker, and then a campaign like runner. So it's kind of a triple hit.
So if you use I've seen people who use like Roll20 in their home games, and I was really confused about it because Roll20 is a great interface for like online interaction, but I don't think it's as smooth as like just drawing stuff out, you know, can be. So it doesn't look as good, but DM Infinitas looks fantastic. It really very much has that like, you know, I'm drawing this by hand on, you know, like a game board kind of feel to it, which is what I really like. But I mean, you guys have the way that it works. I mean, you have like Fog of War kind of things. Really exciting set of features that looks really cool. So I'm really, really geeked to see where you guys take that project.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah. We will, of course, talk more about DMS in the second half of our program when we talk about the intersection of gaming and technology and where things are going, where things are headed. But I just wanted to get that little blurb out now because the Kickstarter is going on right now. What's the date it's going on until?
It is going until the 16th of April. I'm sorry, until the 15th of April, my mistake.
15th, okay. We will definitely have this podcast out in advance of that date, and barring massive computer explosion. So, Dan, since you know you're on deck, I'm gonna open up with you. What are you drinking?
I am currently drinking, this is terrible French, but Trois Pistoles. It's a
Trois Pistoles,
unibrow beer. Excellent French-style dark ale. I am a big fan.
That is a good one. It's got like the horse rearing up on the.
Yeah, I kind of picked it specifically for tonight because it kind of always they always have covers that make me think of like kick-ass D&D illustrations and whatever, you know. So
yeah,
it seemed appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much enjoyed that one. Yeah. What about you, Don?
I am drinking a repeat from season one of Drink Spin Run, the old curmudgeon. It's just curmudgeon, apparently.
I love curmudgeon.
Wasn't it old curmudgeon? Am I just
saying?
No,
it's always been curmudgeon.
I'm always calling it old curmudgeon. Before
because
now,
you're an old curmudgeon.
And currently and in the future.
That's from
Founders.
Is it Founders?
Okay. Yeah, it's an old ale brewed with molasses and oak age.
I did that a couple episodes ago. Like, I got really... And that shit tore me up.
Yeah.
That's a delicious beer that if it... And it is very high in alcohol, and it is fantastic. Like, if I had
9.8. It's 9.8 in a little 12-ounce bottle. Previous to this, I'm just saying this because it's our, you know, our flagship beer. I was at...
Oh, shit, Founders. Sorry, forgot.
Oh, wait, no. I was at Sidetrack, and I had a 27-ounce glass of Big Red Cock. I was like, wow, I've never had it on draft before, much less 27 ounces.
You know, we need to talk to my cousin Chris, and we should do a live episode from that place. From Big Red Cock, from Brewery Vivant.
Every single episode we do is live from the Big Red Cock.
That's the truth. That is true. Oh, I keep getting redder.
You are Wayne. What are you drinking this fine evening?
Oh man, I'm drinking some old Rasputin.
Ooh,
which is good stuff.
Russian
I like
Imperial.
Dark beers.
Yeah, that's a fine one.
It's good stuff.
Have you ever checked out Sierra Nevada's Narwhal?
I have not.
It's thick like that. It's stouty like that. It's a thick and mighty brew. But
sounds good. I've just been drinking like cans of Guinness.
Yeah, I had a bunch of leftover Guinness from St. Patrick's Day.
I wanted to get something classier for the show.
Yeah, nice. You succeeded.
I went to the store and it was just a wall of IPAs, and I'm like, man, I don't know what to do here.
Don't do anything. That's what you should
do. I stood there for a long
time. Go the other way.
I did see an ale. Was it an ale? No, some kind of Weissenbach or something. It was called Ape, Skull Crushing Ape.
Oh, yeah.
It had a good-looking picture of a gorilla.
Nice.
He wasn't crushing skulls. He was just crushing bananas, and I was afraid that it was going to be like... banana-infused IPA.
Oh, yeah.
In it.
That's a good fear to have.
Yeah, maybe he just crushes your skull after drinking it. Yeah.
The next day.
Yeah.
It's not right. I need serious skull-crushing action.
Right. Muscovich.
Oh, yeah.
What's on your personal bar?
Okay, so I do this thing when I'm prepping for the show where I I buy a beer typically a couple weeks in advance of a show, and I like have a few in between to like test it to see if I'm going to enjoy it or to know how much I'm going to enjoy it, but it basically tells me how drunk I'm going to get on the show. So what I had purchased for tonight when I tried it, I was very not happy.
All right.
And so what I had purchased that I did not enjoy was from Hometown Heroes, Arbor Brewing Company. I had their Jackhammer Old Ale.
Oh, man.
It was, like, I think one of the reasons I used to not like things like Russian Imperials is because I had ABC's Russian Imperials. Mm. And I think sometimes they just make things that are stanky.
Yeah,
like,
they
they're
do.
Just,
yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. But this, the Jackhammer Old Ale, like, it is not like any good old ale I've ever had. Because that's what curmudgeon is, isn't it? Isn't curmudgeon an old ale?
Yeah, yeah.
And the curmudgeon's freaking delicious. So that's what I was expecting. And instead, I got this, like really bad, filthy bong water flavor of the Jackhammer. So I kept forgetting to buy more beer. So on the way home today, I had to stop. And the best thing I could find at the Kroger I stopped at was New Belgium's Fat Tire.
Oh, yeah.
Still a good beer, a good standby beer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is. But, you know, I'm drinking something that did not come from the great state of Michigan, which is very rare on the show.
It's a good thing I'm covering that base.
Yeah, cover that base, Don. This is weird. I've got so many windows open with our faces in it.
Yeah,
I gotta cut back on something.
That's terrifying. While you look at us, why don't I move the show along like a good host, and we're on...
You're being a good host this episode.
Spin.
I'm impressed.
I'm going to start with the person on my left, Wayne. You're all on my left. Never mind. Wayne, what are you spinning?
What am I spinning? I was telling Adam earlier I got this new set of headphones that are like hearing protectors with Bluetooth built in, so I can like chainsaw and stuff and listen. So I've been actually getting to listen to a lot more stuff at work. And
nice.
I've been listening to Yidra, which is a doom band out of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Their album Hexed is pretty good. I can't stop listening to it. I mean, it's super heavy, super dark, but it's got all the great themes that, you know, you want. Like, it's all about witches and like Lovecraft monsters, and that stuff's pretty good. Another band that I just found is called Disenchanter.
Yeah.
They named themselves after the creature from the Fiend Folio.
Yeah.
But somehow didn't put like a weird tapir camel on their albums.
Yeah, that's probably good though.
Someone linked that to the Metal Gods a couple of months ago, didn't they?
It was probably me.
Oh, okay.
I've been like proselytizing it all over the place. Like I didn't expect to like it, and it really grew on me.
That was one of the things that when I was like contemplating my last round of like, hey, I got to buy everything I like on Bandcamp. That was one of the bands that I picked up.
Yeah, that's kind of how it started. I've had Black Pyramid's Stormbringer album in heavy rotation, and that's pretty awesome too.
Yeah, very cool. How about you, Dan? Yeah. What have you been spinning?
I've been going back to some old classics lately. I think working on all this app business has got me in a real fantasy mood, so I was listening to a lot of Blind Guardian and Gravedigger and all sorts of kind of classic heavy metal. Classic fantasy, I suppose, oriented heavy metal specifically. Jagdpanzer.
Awesome.
Been so busy, I haven't really bought a whole lot of albums lately. I used to buy music just all the time, constantly, and then, I don't know, I've just slowed down so much ever since going crazy into working all sorts of different stuff, because I've been working for like regular freelance stuff, and I've been working on this app, and so it's been mostly classic stuff that I've had in my collection, a lot of heavy metal.
Done.
Nice. Man, I don't have a good answer as usual, but I did listen to something today that my friend recommended. It is Federico Durand.
Is that really Durand Durand, or did
no.
you...
No, Durand, Frederico, Fred, I was going to say Frederico. It's just like this smooth ambient shit. I think both the wife and I have been spinning a lot of Biosphere, Brian Eno, you know, later than...
You've been all about the Eno last month.
Eno is solid, man, because he's got that nice glam chunk of albums, and then it's all
weird
like...
weird-ass voice, you know? It's all, whoa, warbles.
Yeah.
I mean, in a good way. I mean that with all due respect.
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, you know, in his ambient shit, he doesn't sing at all, so you're set.
Yeah. Who even needs a void?
You don't. You just need a panano. How about you, Mr. Adam?
So yesterday, as we record this, yesterday was Easter. And so I had the long drive back to Ipsy from South Haven again. And in that span of time, I typically, like, I'll usually trot out something new that I've been meaning to listen to. I did not do that. Instead, I trotted out a bunch of old shit, both on my way there and on my way back, because I did not have Katie in the car. I did not have Stan in the car with me. It was
nice.
I listened to a bunch of stuff that basically... I did listen to Blue Snaggletooth.
Nice.
That Beyond Thule. I did listen to their new track, which led me to listen to Beyond Thule again.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I was listening to. Shit, I don't know. Maybe it was some Electric Wizard, and that was about it. But I had a better answer for this. Oh, you know what I did listen to this weekend? I listened to an episode of the Dead Game Society.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys listened to it.
I didn't.
But I did, because some guy you all know was on that episode on their panel at GaryCon talking about podcasts.
Yeah.
That was me.
Jason Elliott. And oh.
Jason Elliott, who sat next to me. He sat next to me at the podcast.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
He will probably be on the show in the future, people.
Good. We should have him on with Doug, and they can...
Why? Do they not like each other?
we can talk off a bit.
You could have anybody on with Doug and they could
fight. I was thinking that. I'm like, wait a minute.
You could have me on with Doug and we could fight.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have Doug on with someone with like a clone of Doug, despite the fact that they agree on everything.
Yeah.
That was a good podcast. It was a good seminar. And I got to be like on this show. I am in the first half. I'm not the straight man. Don's a straight man. I guess Don's always a straight man on this show. He's never like the wacky guy. I mean, I get to be the jerk on this show, but it was nice to be on a panel with people. And I got to be the jerk. People I didn't know, which was a lot of fun. And so if you listen to that, and you know what? They actually gave me the files so we could release it as well.
Oh, really?
Which, yeah. So if you want to release that episode, we could totally do it. If people,
totally
listeners of Drinks Been Run, want to hear a podcasting panel about making a podcast,
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is basically me saying, like you could totally find this stuff out there right now. Someone else has already put it together far more professionally than I ever would. But, so it's already out there. Maybe we'll just link it in show notes or something. Or Drinkspin Run can publish it as well.
I mean, that's...
Chad gave me the files.
It sounds like all of those how-tos I read before we started doing this.
But you haven't you haven't listened to it, though. So
no,
you
I
don't
haven't.
Know anything about it, and it might blow your freaking
won't.
Mind.
Really?
Yeah, of course. You should read it. Listen to it. Whatever it does.
I don't have any room for more podcasts to listen to.
No, it's like an episode. You can listen to
It's a podcast about a podcast.
Yeah, it's kind of meta in really
It's a podcast
ways,
about a podcast, right? Yeah.
There are podcasts about podcasting, which I didn't know before I was on this panel.
Yeah, there are.
They have podcasting
podcasts. You should listen to it. You should listen to it live on your podcast.
That would be fantastic. We should do that.
Do live commentary?
Yeah. This is bullshit. You don't need that fancy pants thing. Fly by the seat of your pants with Audacity and your laptop's microphone. Yeah.
That's how we do.
It is, in fact, how we do. No, we don't do like that.
No, no.
We do Audacity, but not with laptop mics. We're a step above laptop mics. So let's move on.
Moving right along.
Hey, Dan. Dan, what are you reading?
I am... going to be lame and say I'm not really reading much right now because once again been crazy busy, but before kicking off the Kickstarter I was getting back into the appendices of Lord of the Rings and finally kind of digging in and trudging through some of the slower but I guess educational bits of it, which has been nice. It's not exciting, but you know, I do enjoy the back history, which has been fun. I started up on a car ride and kind of got into it.
Is it like a personal dare?
Kind of. I mean, it's like it started with when The Hobbit came out, and I was like, all right, I need to know the straight jive on. Is this bullshit legit? You know, what's with the white warg and all this bullshit? So I got into it, and there's some stuff, and there's some pieces. So then from there, it's just kind of, all right, well, maybe I do want to know about the fourth grandmother's child, son's cousin of Aragorn. And I don't, but it's interesting.
No, it is. I mean, I can get behind that. I know we've had some Tolkien haters on in the past.
Who hates Tolkien? We're not talking about me.
I don't even know. No, of course not. No. But yeah, I mean, that shit's fun to read. I mean, is it fun to read? It's fascinating. It's not fun. It's fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating is a good word.
Like the depth and complexity for something that, you know, doesn't really matter.
I'm going to say that some stuff is fun to read. And that's good. The Hobbit on its own.
It's Lord of the Rings itself.
Yeah. Fun to read.
Oh,
that's good stuff.
The appendices feel faux educational, I think, which is what makes them unappealing to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot like Genesis, right?
Yeah.
You mean the Phil Collins band?
I don't. In fact, I don't.
Not at all.
Much less repulsive.
It did seem rather biblical when I was like 14 trying to read it.
Yeah.
Failing.
So, speaking of that, Wayne, what are you reading?
I'm working my way through a Clark Aston Smith collection that James McGeorge mailed to me.
Nice.
I'll
drink to that.
Clark Aston Smith, The End of the Story, Volume 1. It's those really nice collections they put out. I only have the one. I've been slowly working on that, like chipping away at it. It's all short stories. And then I started reading Neuromancer again for like the 100th time.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Read it like once a year. Usually end up reading the whole trilogy because it goes quick. It's like a palate cleansing kind of thing.
Awesome. I haven't read that in like 20. Really good.
Ah, man. I got to read it like every year.
Uh-huh.
Most of my reading gets done between the hours of like 8 and 9 when I'm reading to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I just read her this collection of books. I think my mom found them at like Goodwill, and I ended up picking up the rest of them off of Amazon, but it was called the Troll King Trilogy. It's for like 10-year-old kids to be reading.
Hmm.
But it was like the first book, third book, whatever. The second book is basically a dungeon crawl where the entire party is ogres and trolls.
Huh.
And I mean, there's like avalanches of venomous centipedes. They like set them on fire. They're falling in traps. Like, I mean, it was pretty much just an entire dungeon crawl. There's like phantasmal treasure. There's elves in there with poison arrows. I think I enjoyed it more than I should have.
Huh. Who's the author?
I think you enjoyed it the appropriate amount from what
I was pretty excellent. I was just like, this is great. I want to play this game.
Yeah.
Who's the author on that?
John Vornholt.
All right.
Vornholt. Apparently he wrote a bunch of like, Star Trek novels and some Buffy the Vampire Slayer stuff.
Oh, wow.
And then he decided to write something good?
Yeah, some kind of like elementary school troll adventures. There's like this black dagger that like evil turns, it resurrects corpses and turns them evil. And so you could have some regular guy who died and then you bring him back and he's like an evil twin of himself.
Hmm. That sounds great.
It is. It's actually really fun.
I'm totally picking this up. We get that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. You can read it to Stan.
Yeah. Well, he has a couple more years before he's going to understand about trolls. I know Lily's like she's on top of troll business.
Young now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now I just read him stuff that I want to read, you know, and
that works
out. I've been reading him. I'll go and I'll say what I've been reading. Mm. I've been reading him John Peterson's Playing at the World, and he doesn't
nice.
Care. Like, I appreciate the detail with that book has been written. It is a bit of a slog, but it's like a slog that takes me back to my like hard academics reading philosophy texts all day, you know, roots, which is pretty good, you know. So it's a warm fuzzy place for me. And then reading certain passages that I need to make sure I understand correctly out loud to Stan, and then he's, you know, based on his response, I know whether I
you did it right.
Yeah,
I've got it on the shelf. I haven't managed to crack it open yet.
It's pretty impressive. It'll probably remind you of some of the drier art history texts you had in college.
In some of his like his videos, so I think I know what to expect.
But... yeah, he's a great guy. I don't know that personally yet, but I mean his videos are fantastic. I've been reading his blog since and that's just so fan, such a fan of what he does. But that's as opposed, you know, compared to the writing is really good. It's different. From what most folks are used to in the games industry. One of the things I've always liked about games books is like so many do such a great job of providing history and context. You know, if you look at, you know, the Call of Cthulhu rulebook, right? Like there's so many things like in that book that help give you context to the 1920s. So even if you don't know shit about the 1920s, you have a pretty good way to like fake the 1920s. John Peterson's writing is not like that skeleton framework that helps you fake the knowledge. I do think that a couple of folks have written in that concise, terse, like, here's the facts, that's all you need to know, just everything else is immaterial. I did not like Designers and Dragons for that reason. You know, I felt like it was just like here are the bullet points, that's your history, you're done. You know, I didn't like it. But
not enough research.
Just yeah, it doesn't give enough detail. Whereas
you can tell he does the legwork, man. He's done all the legwork.
You could not accuse John of having done the legwork. Oh, but it's good stuff. So Don,
hey,
what are you reading?
I am reading. You know, I'm going to be honest. I started playing Darkest Dungeon this weekend.
Oh.
So I've not been reading, but for the past 2 weeks,
is
maybe...
Is that in prep for playing Torchbearer? Or, yeah, Torchbearer on the 10th?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I bet that would
work great.
That's
basically Torchbearer, the video game. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been reading the crap out of the Peril and the Purple Planet box set.
Mm-hmm.
And loving it. As you know, I've been... oh, my God. I've been reading that, like, all the books cover to cover and then rereading them. Like, I really want to run it. That takes a lot of time to read. I mean, if you go through and so I've been reading. I feel weird, like I'm not. I'm reading, guys. I'm reading.
That totally counts, man. Yeah. If you're reading Harley Stroh, you're reading.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Harley's a good writer, man. I really mm-hmm. like his material. And that whole we happen to be friends with a couple of guys who also wrote stuff for that box set. So
that's
you
know, right.
That's true.
That's right.
Some guy named.
I shouldn't be shirking.
And our third host, Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring him up. Didn't want to turn him into a square on the drinking bingo.
Oh, he's no. Oh.
He really should be.
It's been too long. We have Callahan on again.
Tim Callahan, if you're watching, which I know you're.
But he,
you
but he'll listen.
Yeah, you're. We got to get you back on next episode.
Talk about your your oh man, your book. I'm falling apart.
Yeah. Who are you talking to?
The Undying.
Undying? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I didn't know if you were still talking to.
I
Tim
was just
Callahan
like blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna edit that out.
No.
Yeah.
You're not gonna do it.
No. I'm gonna do that. Drinksman Run. We're on run.
Run. Yeah.
Run. Run.
Hey Don, how about
I'm gonna go first. I've run nothing since the last time we recorded, which has only been 2 weeks. I tried to get a game going on Friday. No one could make it, so I played Darkest Dungeon instead. Or Saturday.
Yeah. You didn't try to get me.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
actually.
I did.
It's like, I just didn't respond to that email chain. Like, I'm out of town. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. How about you, Wayne? Running anything?
Yeah, I've been running I've been running DCC.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, after Adam had a baby and Edgar went off to play some MERP, I kind of took over the Metal Gods group, and we got some other people in there, and I've been running, it started off as like a, I guess it wasn't really a one shot because it's been going since November, but
some shots. November,
it was, I was trying to figure out how we could do, you know, the same style, like drop in, drop out online game that we usually do, but actually have a cohesive story about the same group of characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I just made like 8 pre-gens, and whoever shows up gets to use those same characters.
Ah, okay.
So it's kind of fun, and they've got a lot of personality to them, and people kind of stick with the personality they know. And some of the fun things about it, like, I didn't realize I had made this little, like, D6 chart, because I just wanted these. They're, like, first level. No, they were second level characters, and I wanted them to have a little bit of, like, backstory, whatever. And so I made this chart, D6. It was like, you can get a +1 on any ability score, or you can add it to a weapon. But then you have to roll on this D6 chart that gives you, like, something bad, vaguely bad.
Right.
And one of them was, you're a distasteful foreigner. That's all it said, but that's what Doug rolled, and that's what the whole, like, North Kovacistan came from.
Oh, okay.
And
I just thought he was making fun of me.
He was, I mean, of course, but yeah. At the same time, it's like, it's become this, like, this central theme to the game with these two, somebody else rolled it too, and then they decided they were the halfling and the thief are both
the
most Kovacistan. No, it was, Diogo, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Jared's got the wizard. Wizard who ended up with a wooden leg, which is now hollow and full of drugs.
It's what you do.
This elf got an eye patch. That was about it. It had other stuff like you're wanted by the mob, and I don't know. It's only a D6 chart, but distasteful foreigner. Distasteful foreigner has like been the whole crux of the game, and the Kovacistanis go around shitting in everybody's well.
I've heard about the shitting in the well, yeah.
Yeah, that's their whole motivation, so it's either half the party trying to stop them from doing it and them trying to do it. It's pretty absurd.
What does that mean to the North Kovacistanis?
I think it's just a sign of, like, personal pride.
Oh, okay, that you must shit in everyone's well?
Yeah, it's like, you gotta do this thing, and you've gotta do it well. You know, you gotta fish it.
I see. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. So, Dan, what about you? What have you been running? Have you been running anything?
You might detect a pattern here, but yeah. It's been a couple months since I've gotten to play anything, but before the Kickstarter, what we've been running was we're still in 4th Ed, my friends and us. We're doing some D&D 4th Ed, and it's always homebrew stuff because, I don't know, it seems like everybody in our group is either a writer or some kind of would-rather-be-writing type of person. So we do a lot of weird homebrew stuff, and I can relate to the entire story being derailed by one small detail. Although I guess in our case it wasn't the smallest detail because if I'm not doing the DM stuff, my brother usually is, and when he does, things get really out of hand really fast. I was really known for decapitating people. It started slowly. It was one decapitation. It was like I rolled a 20 and like everything was great, and oh well, his head came off, and then like suddenly it became this weird thing where I was constantly decapitating people and like keeping their heads and showing them to other people, and it got really grisly and bad.
One of the early sessions, I know exactly, I very much understand this. In one of the early sessions of Metal Gods, my first turn as DM for this group, they were fighting all of these like ape men. And they needed to rest, you know, to recuperate. And they ended up building a fort out of the dead bodies of ape men. And they named it Fort Simeon.
Ugh, that has got to be a smelly fort.
Yeah. Well, and then after that, like, I Survived Fort Simeon was their, like, you know, their summer camp, like, theme. Yeah, I understand. Players taking things a little bit...
Well, it's like, and even the best of us, we try so hard to do the right thing, and it's like, I swore for the longest time when I was playing, I was playing as like, neutral good, and I was only gonna do the right thing, and just by fluke of chance, it was a very bad person who was decapitated. And then just a path of darkness.
So I think you're the first person who's been on the show, Dan, who still plays 4th edition.
I know, I'm such... Well, the big thing is, and this is probably getting out of me as a total wiener, but I really relied on the character builder for fourth edition, and now that I don't have one, I don't want to do all this. Like, and then what if I miss out on cool feats, or like, what if I miss out on some like stuff that I didn't realize was in the book? Or so we just kind of been really lazy and stuck with it. I really want to get into fifth edition, and like my brother's got all the books, and I've got a ton of campaign material ready for it, and we haven't all gotten together and rolled characters or anything yet.
I guess by saying you're the only person I've met who stayed with 4th edition, I guess I mean, like, so many of us have moved on to, like, older rule sets or, like, OSR retro clones, and, you know, I play some 5e. I think everybody here's played at least a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And I'm at the point now where I can see with considerable rules hacks that 5e could be a fun game. Or, well, I mean, it is a fun game when my friend Gabriel runs it, but that's because he's fucking Gabriel, and he's awesome. Wayne can back me up on but you know what I'm saying, Wayne. If Gabriel running 5e like Greyhawk with Gabriel's like super old school Greyhawk brain, you
I haven't
know?
Been in any of his games. I've been trying to get him to run something for me forever, and I haven't played in any of his games. I know it would be awesome though.
He's really good. You would very much enjoy playing with him.
I'm gonna have to get in on that.
Yeah, well, our Wednesday night group that I invited you to, he's one of the GMs for that.
It can happen.
But, 5e, I think that's the nice thing about 5e is you don't have that problem you had with 4th edition, where you are going to miss that feat with 4th edition, you know, where you're, you know, there's the right choice in 4th edition, and that was probably, that was in 3rd edition, too. I don't think you have that problem in edition.
That's good, because it really pained my OCD, the triggering of trying to get everything just right.
That's one of the things I've liked, is, like, you can strip out a lot of rules, or you can use all of them, and, you know, your character is balanced. I don't really care about balanced characters myself, but I understand other people do. So, I thought that's what I liked about it, and that's why I could consider, at some point in the future, after house ruling the shit out of it.
Yeah, I'd love to go back to Gamma World and a couple other out there stuff, but I never really get a group that's up for that. I think, like, Dungeons & Dragons is just so accessible. Like, we've been able to pull in, I mean, my wife has gotten into it, one of the friends we play with, his wife got into it, and it's so accessible that it's hard to walk away from.
I know what you mean. that is one of the things I think that's been really cool lately, is the folks who have been, like, getting more into, like, I don't know, at least in the online community, there's been such a big explosion in a lot of, like, the weirder, you know, old school games. Like, Goodman Games published Metamorphosis Alpha, you know, and as a result, you get a lot of people who are now into Metamorphosis Alpha who didn't even know it existed a few years ago, you know, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome to see that explosion of kind of classic or hidden gems kind of coming out of the woodwork.
Speaking of, oh, crap, did you guys see the announcement today from Dan Proctor and Tim Snyder?
Planet of the Apes thing?
Yeah!
Ape Victorious, what's it called?
Primate Victorious, I think.
I don't know. It looked, yeah, I saw it like 800 times, but it was still.
What's really weird is I saw like somebody posted like, hey, I found this crazy game, you know, like on what's that? The Aseum or something like that. Somebody posted, hey, I found this crazy game. I've never seen it before. What do you know about it? And then like a month later, Dan Proctor's like, yes, I'm publishing this shit, man, which is really awesome. Cool. Old school Planet of the Apes. Fuck yeah. Please take as much of that as you got.
Yeah, that's a first. Not the first thing, but. I'm pretty excited about it, more so than I have been about anything in a while.
That's pretty exciting.
That is, man. Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes is pretty awesome. I will.
Damn.
Do you want to be? Or I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to ask people to be guest DMs on DSR this season. I'm supposed to say I will run that if I will run that, and I would run that. I think I'd have to read the hell out of it first.
You could just run it anyhow.
Yeah.
It could be terrible. Either way.
That'd be great. I did realize that my half-baked running of Torchbearer at GaryCon was missing a lot of detail. as I gear up to do our actual play on the podcast on the 10th and the 24th of April. I'm like, now I'm looking at it like, oh, I skipped a bunch of rules. That's how that works. That's why you have that thing when you make your character. Okay. So, I don't know. It'll be fun. I understand better what I'm doing now, and I will screw up less, I promise.
Nice. You betters for an audience.
I do that. I think I do that every time I run a public game. Like, forget at least a few of the rules.
You don't need to know every rule, right? I mean, that's dumb.
You don't need to know all the rules all the time.
Right.
No.
But I think with Torchbearer, the rules are the point of the kind of
to some degree. Yeah, I think like that's kind of that is seems to be one of the things that seems to govern a lot of like the story games. I was watching a video, like Adam Coble every week does these office hours videos. They're pretty good, where he takes like three questions from his audience and he answers them. And they're pretty solid. But one theme that I've noticed that keeps popping up, and this seems to be like a story game thread, that if you aren't using a game's rules, you're not playing the game.
Which but I you're guess still playing a game.
No, you're not playing the game because you're not using the rules.
It does seem a bit semantic.
You are. That's what I think. And,
which I suppose you know, is the nature of that claim, is to be semantic.
Exactly. And so I realize that that's the inspiration for a lot of story games is to be semantic and to have rules for the sake of rules so that you're playing the game, when you're doing the thing that the rest of us are doing when we're just role-playing, you know?
Yeah.
To make sure you're doing it right.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a doing it right that they're thinking about. I can't say that. I can't speak from their point of view. I can speak from my point of view as someone who appreciates all fucking games and thinks all games are awesome and we should all be playing more games.
See, to me, that's the whole point of pen and paper and tabletop games is that, like, you can go outside of the rules. I mean, if you wanted to be that rigidly railroaded onto rules, you play a video game where nothing can change outside of what has been written for you.
Well, I think that the point is more to create a you as a player of 4th edition probably understand that you know, certain rule sets want to do everything for you. I think actually 4th edition was less guilty of that than 3rd edition, but some rule sets just want to be able to describe the entirety of everything that can happen to you in a simple set of rules, you know? Whether we're talking about Dungeon World or Torchbearer or Burning Wheel or anything like that, or, you know, 3rd edition, you know, we want to strip things down to these simple components and that's all we want to use, you know? You're making a diplomacy check. You're rolling 2d6 plus your charisma modifier. You're, you know, going to roll your orator skill, you know? Things like that. The difference, I think, is that the story games will have their rules. You as the role player then have to deal with the consequences of the way in role playing that your rules elements you're juggling how they make you deal with. So like if you're and I get that. I think that can be fun. I don't think it's necessary all the time. I'm perfectly happy with a rule set that just lets me talk to NPCs and I don't have to make a roll to see and then invent how that roll reflects how I actually talk to them, you know?
Yeah, that was always a confusing point when I first started out was, is it the words that I'm physically saying that matter, or is it the level of role I get on my diplomacy check or my intimidation check or whatever? Like, where is this coming? Because you'll see there are the players that are like, say, I roll, you know, for intimidation, and then my role will just determine, make up in your head, you know, what I say. But then you can kind of matter your way out of it and, oh, well, I'm saying this lovely speech, and I've doctored up myself, and it's a physical speech I'm delivering. Does that get around the rules? Does that go within the rules? So I can see where it can get fuzzy, where it can be good to have, you know, kind of a strict rule set.
I'm very much one of those people who I appreciate like the more open-ended stuff, you know. I like the old school, like I like white box D&D. It's freaking beautiful, you know. Give me three character classes, no rules for skills, you know, barely rules for combat and saving throws and junk like that, and I'm set, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don, you have a thought?
No, I was going to agree with you to a certain extent, but mostly I was going to ask if we had gotten to asking you about what you're running or if you've just been talking for the last 20
minutes. It was just talking for 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. Hey, Adam. Just to wrap this up, what are you running, if anything?
I'm running everything, all the time.
All the time, bitches.
All of it. I run it all. All of it. No, so obviously still Iron Coast. That's still going on. That's a blast.
Mm-hmm.
This will not surprise people who have been following the progress of the Iron Coast crew. They have still not exited the world below.
Oh, yeah.
They are finally on their way back to a boat, which should be getting them off out of the Sleestak underground jungle. But they're still ways away from getting out.
Is that like four sessions? Five?
What? To do what?
To that they've been down there?
It's like the last year.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's been like all 2015.
All the sessions.
Yeah. Well, it's been about, I think they got down there somewhere in late spring last year. So we are, yeah, going on about a year of being underground, which was realistically about the events now of just over a month of game time. But it's a good time. They just met some kind of flaming David Bowie archangel thing, and you know, it should be fun. I don't know what's gonna happen there. It'll be cool. the Wednesday night group that I mentioned earlier, I'm actually taking over. It's my turn to run games, so I will first be actually running Torchbearer because the guys asked me to, and then I will be running RuneQuest 6. Hey, hey, we have a visitor. It's Stan.
Hey, look at that.
Hey, he's a little boy. What's up, man?
Hi, Stanley.
All right. So, see Uncle Wayne? There we go. That's a great smile. Non-visual cues. Yes, Stanley smiled. That's what happened. So I'm doing Torchbearer for that. And then by the time this comes out, we'll probably be really close to running Torchbearer for our actual play, which will be on April 10th, which is a good time. And I think we... Yeah. And I think we're pretty loaded on players for that. But Don, you said you're actually going to play in that one, right?
I think so. I'd like to, yeah. And,
yeah, get in on it.
Yeah. And I think my buddy Sean McCoy wanted to... He sent you an email, I think. We'll see.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, he said you were loaded up, so...
Okay.
I'm sure you
yeah,
got
we'll
it.
Definitely, yeah. I'll definitely talk to him. But so that's what I've been doing. That's what I'm up to. Not quite secret, because I'm going to say this loud. I'm going to get really quiet and get close to the microphone. But my lovely wife is thinking about running a game online on Saturday nights and running her Muppet Morphosis Alpha.
Nice. Which I could be in on that.
Yeah, that would... I'm excited for her to do it, and I'll actually play this time instead of just hanging out with this guy and being sick. So,
this Saturday?
I don't know what Saturday. Some Saturday in the future. We don't know when. Katie's talking about doing it. She's threatened a couple of times. I'm excited to see what she puts together.
So, sign me up.
All right, you're in.
Play that game.
Snyder. Hey! Thank you all for being here. We're done now, right? We're at this part of the show?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Dan, it was awesome to meet you, man.
Yeah, it was fantastic to be on here.
Wayne, I love you, man. I miss playing with you. We should fix that.
Yeah, we need more games all the time.
More games all the time, absolutely.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for finally being on.
Yeah.
Don Stroud, my lovely co-host.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good to see you. How is it we go like 2 weeks without talking to each other?
And we live
and like
a mile
hey, we
got to
put together. Yeah, it's really funny. We live closer now than we did before, I think. All right. And you lovely, you gorgeous listeners at home, beautiful viewers, whoever you are. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to take five. We'll be back in a little bit, Dan. And we're going to talk about tech and gaming. Thank you very much. We'll see you in a little bit.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Drink Spin Run. If you like what you've heard, share us with your friends, leave us an iTunes review, or email us at dsr@kickassistan.net. You can also support us at patreon.com/dsrcast. Our theme music was generously provided by the band Blue Snaggletooth, that you can find at bluesnaggletooth.bandcamp.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope you join us next time, you gorgeous listeners.